So, in the state of consciousness, depending upon state of consciousness, you have successive movement of duration and extension. Or you have all-containing duration and extension. And then there's a third, which is timeless and spaceless. Now, when you really have the full account of the universe, you are bound to make these three propositions. Existence is timeless and spaceless, from which beginningless and timeless, endless time and space are grounded, which are fundamentally all-containing moment or all-containing point on which you can inscribe, according to your standpoint, successive movement of duration and successive movement of space. This is the nature of the existence. The totality of existence, if you really want the real existence, now I shall invite you to read, therefore, after having explained all this, these three paragraphs on page number 74. All the three statements that I have made now can be seen at once here. Shall we see? Start? We see at once, page number 74, we see at once that if such an existence is, it must be like the energy infinite. Neither reason, nor experience, nor intuition, nor imagination bears witness to us of the possibility of a final terminus. All end and beginning presuppose something beyond the end or beginning. An absolute end, an absolute beginning, is not only a contradiction in terms, but a contradiction of the essence of things, a violence, a fiction. Infinity imposes itself upon the appearances of the finite by its inexcusable self-existence. But this is infinity with regard to time and space, an eternal duration, interminable extension. The pure reason goes farther, and looking in its own colorless and austere light at time and space, points out that these two are categories of our consciousness, conditions under which we arrange our perception of phenomena. When you look at existence in itself, time and space disappear. If there is any extension, it is not spatial, but a psychological extension. If there is any duration, it is not a temporal, but a psychological duration. And it is then easy to see that this extension and duration are only symbols which represent to the mind something not translatable into intellectual terms, an eternity which seems to us the same all-containing ever-new moment, an infinity which seems to us the same all-containing all-pervading point without magnitude. And this conflict of terms, so violent yet accurately expressive of something we do perceive, shows that mind and speech have passed beyond their natural limits and are striving to express a reality in which their own conventions and necessary oppositions disappear into an ineffable identity. But is this a true record? May it not be that time and space so disappear merely because the existence we are regarding is a fiction of the intellect, a fantastic nihil created by speech, which we strive to erect into a conceptual reality? we regard again that existence in itself and we say no. There is something behind the phenomenon, not only infinite but indefinable. Of no phenomenon, of no totality of phenomena, can we say that absolutely it is. Even if you reduce all phenomena to one fundamental, universal, irreducible phenomenon of movement or energy, we get only an indefinable phenomenon. The very conception of movement carries with it the potentiality of repose and betrays itself as an activity of some existence. The very idea of energy in action carries with it the idea of energy abstaining from action. And an absolute energy not in action is simply and purely absolute existence. I think we shall stop here. These are the things that I have so far told you. If you want to now describe existence, we have three statements to make. The existence that we see is successive movement of duration and extension. That is our ordinary experience. We find that this is our view depending upon our psychological condition, in which what is before and what is after depends entirely upon the standpoint that we take with regard to wherever we are. The given is present. It may be large, it may be small, depending upon our state of consciousness. So successive movement of duration and of extension is our ordinary experience of space and time. That seems to be existing before us because this is all that we know about. When we inquire further, we find that there is beginningless and endless movement of space and time. And there is a method by which we can see in which all this is nothing but all containing moment, all containing point without magnitude. And beyond that we perceive existence which is beyond space and time. These are three things you have to make a statement about when we speak of existence. This is all that we see. What do you mean by existence? Existence is all the three at once. The timeless and spaceless, which manifests itself in beginningless and endless time and space, which in our highest consciousness can be perceived as all-containing, ever-new moment, all-containing point without magnitude, which, again depending upon our state of consciousness, can be seen as successive movement of duration and successive movement of space. This is all that we see when we examine it properly. The rest of the chapter is not much easier. This was the main difficulty and very complex statement. The rest will be now much easier, and that we shall do next time. All right?